Welcome to Scotuscast, Land Use and Takings Claims Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 13, 2013, the Supreme Court issued its opinion in Tarrant Regional Water District v. Herman. The case involved the Red River Compact, which allocates water rights among Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana within the Red River Basin. Tarrant Regional Water District, a Texas agency, claimed it was entitled to acquire water under the compact from within Oklahoma, and that the compact therefore preempts certain Oklahoma statutes restricting out-of-state diversions of water. In addition, Tarrant claimed that these Oklahoma laws were unconstitutional restrictions on interstate commerce. In a unanimous opinion delivered by Justice Sotomayor, the court rejected both of Tarrant's claims. To discuss the case, we have James McDonald, who is an associate of Williams & Connolly. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. McDonald.
This case centers around a dispute over the interpretation of the Red River Compact, which allocates water rights in the Red River between Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. The Tarrant Regional Water District, the petitioner in this case, provides drinking water to the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area in North Texas. In recent years, that area has experienced water shortages due to rapid population growth from just over 5 million in 2000 to nearly 6.5 million in 2010, and an extended drought. Tarrant can get water from within Texas's borders, but it says that water tastes too salty. So Tarrant started to look outside Texas for higher quality water, and it turned its attention to the tributaries of the Red River that lie in Oklahoma. The Red River forms the border between Texas and Oklahoma, and has been a constant source of controversy between the states. In fact, the last time a dispute about the Red River between Texas and Oklahoma made its way to the Supreme Court, Texas had called out its militia to assert its claim to the river, and Oklahoma was prepared to do the same. Ultimately, cooler heads prevailed, and they submitted the case to the Supreme Court for resolution. Justice Alito alluded to this during the argument when he said that Tarrant's position in this case sounded like they were going to send in the National Guard or the Texas Rangers. And as any sports fan knows, the Red River now lends its name to the annual football game between the Oklahoma Sooners and the Texas Longhorns, known as the Red River Rivalry. In 1955, in an effort to prevent future disputes about water rights in the Red River, Oklahoma and Texas, along with Arkansas and Louisiana, began negotiating an interstate compact. The Constitution provides that states may enter into formal agreements with one another, called compacts, but they must be approved by Congress. It took the states more than 20 years, but ultimately they reached an agreement, signing the Red River Compact in 1978, which Congress approved in 1980. The compact divides the Red River and its tributaries into areas called reaches, and subdivides reaches into subbasins. Within each reach and subbasin, the compact apportions water rights among the states. At issue in this case is Subbasin 5 of Reach 2, which straddles the Oklahoma-Texas border. And this case arises specifically out of an application filed by Tarrant seeking a permit to take water from Oklahoma's side of Subbasin 5. The Oklahoma Water Board denied that permit, and Tarrant filed this lawsuit. The relevant language of the compact grants the states, quote, equal rights to the use of the water in Subbasin 5, quote, provided that no state may take more than 25% of the total water. Tarrant argued that this provision entitled it to take its 25% share from wherever it sees fit, even if the water it wants lies within Oklahoma, and even if Texas could obtain its 25% share from water within its borders. Tarrant's primary argument was a textual one. It relied on the canon of construction called expressio unius, which stands for the proposition that the express mention of one thing excludes all others. Invoking this canon, Tarrant argued that because some provisions of the compact included express state boundary limitations, but the provision at issue here did not, the court should infer that the drafters didn't want to include a border restriction here. Oklahoma responded by invoking a clear statement rule based on principles of sovereignty and federalism. Oklahoma argued that states are usually not viewed to have ceded their sovereign authority by implication. Rather, a court generally will determine a state has given up those sovereign rights only where they have clearly said they intend to give up those rights. Because Oklahoma holds the water within its borders as part of its sovereign authority, Oklahoma argued, it should be viewed as having ceded those rights only where it's clearly said so. It has not clearly said so here. The compact is silent as to cross-border rights, so the court should not infer those cross-border rights from that silence. Both the District Court and the Court of Appeals ruled for Oklahoma, and the Supreme Court granted certiorari. The Supreme Court, in an opinion by Justice Sotomayor, unanimously affirmed, rejecting Tarrant's position and accepting Oklahoma's. The court began with the text of the compact. In response to Tarrant's expressio unius argument, the court noted that there were other provisions of the compact that didn't contain border limitation language, but that all sides would agree had to be limited by the state borders. The court thus viewed the text as at least ambiguous, and so it moved beyond the text in interpreting the rights under the compact. Specifically, the court looked to three different sources to interpret the compact. First, the court relied on the principle, advanced by Oklahoma, that states do not easily cede their sovereign powers. The court explained that states hold an absolute right to all their navigable waters and the soils beneath them, and that the power to control that water is, quote, an essential attribute of sovereignty. If any inference is to be drawn from silence, the court explained, it's that each state is left to regulate the water within its own borders. The court then said, in what really is the key language on this point, quoting from the court's opinion, states rarely relinquish their sovereign powers, so when they do, we would expect a clear indication of such devolution, not inscrutable silence. The court next looked to other interstate water compacts that deal with cross-border rights. It noted that in nearly every one of those other compacts where cross-border rights were contemplated, those rights were expressly set out in the compact. And not only do compacts that grant cross-border rights say so explicitly, the court continued, but they also typically include a variety of ancillary terms that govern the cross-border access. These terms address things like which parties within a state can assert cross-border rights in another state, how permits will be allocated for that cross-border access, where points of diversion will be located, and who will pay for the diversions. The Red River Compact didn't contain any of these ancillary terms that one would expect to be included if cross-border rights were contemplated. Third, the court looked to the course of dealing between Texas and Oklahoma, which the court said also undermined Tarrant's position. Since the compact was approved in 1980, no state had asserted cross-border rights until Tarrant filed this suit in 2007. Indeed, Tarrant sought to purchase Oklahoma's water for more than $1 billion as recently as 2000 and 2002. A strange offer, the court wrote, if Tarrant believed it was entitled to the water for free under the compact. That left Tarrant's Dormant Commerce Clause argument. Under the Dormant Commerce Clause, a state can't enact laws or regulations that discriminate against commerce from out of state. But the court dismissed that argument out of hand. Because it had determined that the water was Oklahoma's by virtue of the compact, which acts as federal law, there wasn't any Dormant Commerce Clause concern at all, the court said. The big picture takeaway, I think, is that this really is a blow for state sovereignty and federalism. Most observers who started with the text of this compact thought Tarrant might have had a slightly better textual argument than Oklahoma. But Oklahoma was able to convince the court that Tarrant's reading would infringe upon its sovereignty and that the court should interpret the compact through the lens of federalism. One open question is how far the federalism implications of this opinion will extend. The court's language is pretty broad, and the decision was unanimous. Quoting from the court's opinion, states rarely relinquish their sovereign powers, so when they do, we would expect a clear indication of such devolution, not inscrutable silence. That language, of course, isn't limited to the compact context or even to the water rights context. Of course, that language must be read in the context of this case, but still, it will prove to be useful to advocates making similar clear statement type arguments in the federalism context going forward.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.